The Radio Today program with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
This is the weekly podcast from Radio Today. Hello, I'm Stuart Clarkson. On the way in this edition, we'll hear from Phil Riley as the 2018 ARIAs are launched. We'll also get his thoughts on the further deregulation of commercial radio, which could bring more networking and more presenter job losses. Also coming up, more radio moments with David Lloyd. And James Cridlin takes a look at the new Google Podcasts, which launched last week. First, we're out in the garden. We're sounding great in the sunshine, and Radio Today's editor Roy Martin is here with me to tell us what else has been going on in radio over the last 7 days. We've come to the Radio Today beer garden today.
Yeah. Theatre of the mind. It's your backyard.
I know. I've got a lovely view over the hills and the canal. It's nice. All those radio shows taking themselves out of the studio in the sunshine. I thought we'd do the same this week.
Every engineer's nightmare.
And hopefully it doesn't sound any worse for it. We're on the reserve mics.
When we first hooked up, I could very clearly hear your cock in the background.
Apologies for that.
Thankfully, the cock has shut up.
I've got 9 hens as well that go with the cock, just to make that clear. So the big thing this week, Roy, was this announcement from Ofcom of a consultation that's going to happen about deregulation. And that's certainly got the industry talking, hasn't it?
Deregulation, yeah. So my thoughts. Do you want to know my thoughts?
We always want to know your thoughts.
Let's get on with it. That's what I think.
Yeah, it's been dragging a little while. I mean, so this is Ofcom essentially saying, well, the government is going to take a little while to bring in any new legislation, so let's see what we can do in the meantime to help radio stations to do more of perhaps what they want to do.
It is quite scary. The approved areas are going down to, I think, 8 in England. So if the likes of Heart and Breeze and Capital want to network the entire output, they can do, except for 3 hours in the daytime, which can be at any point. So the afternoon show, 1 till 4, can be voice tracked locally or even remotely. That basically is your local token show on what will be a national network, which is crazy when you think of local radio, but you can't get in the way of progress, can you? That's the way it's going.
And those local areas are going to be enormous. I mean, in some areas, they're kind of regions with a regional identity like Yorkshire or the North East. But you look at the south of England, so excluding London, you've got the home counties all the way down to Kent and Sussex and everywhere else.
Indeed. And on the other side, you've got Land's End right through to Portsmouth, I think it is, the Solent, and then all the way up to Bristol. So the station, you can have one show for Bristol, for Devon and for Southampton. What? But does that make any sense?
But the listener probably won't notice much difference, because if the jock's doing links about funny things in the entertainment world that day, it doesn't really matter as long as the local news, the weather, the travel and the local ads are on, which they get at the moment.
Plus, it'll only be for 3 hours a day as well like that. The rest will be from Leicester Square.
Other groups are available.
Yeah. Who knows? But maybe not.
It will be interesting to see, obviously, whether Global take full advantage of it, and Bauer as well. You know, certainly in the Northwest, you're looking at Key 103, Rock FM, Hits Radio Manchester, Rock FM, Radio City and CFM could all be one regional station.
Yeah, and what has Carlisle got to do with Stockport? Absolutely nothing.
But it gets its local opt-out news. Anyway, we're going to talk about this more with Phil Riley in a few minutes here on this podcast.
Ooh.
Can you hear the boat going past?
Is that your barge?
It's not my barge.
Is it Gary Bridges' barge?
It might be Gary Bridges' barge. Should we shout, see if it's Gary?
Hi, Gary. Wait.
Can you hear it still? Can you hear it?
It's going, isn't he?
Wave bye-bye to the barge. Let's have a look at some other news this week. And Simon Mayo is back with a new podcast. Simon Mayo hasn't gone anywhere, but he's back with Matt Williams, who used to be on Radio 2 Drive Time with him. They've apparently changed Radio 2 Drive Time. Who knew?
Well, we've had hundreds of comments on this on Radio Today when I did a story about the new podcast. So I think people are pretty emotional about it, and they want Matt back on the Radio 2 Drive Time show. I don't think that's going to change anytime soon, but it's good that those people who liked Simon and Matt can get their fix via podcasts.
Yes, so they're doing a new fortnightly podcast about books. Let's have a little listen to their tease.
Well, here we go. This is officially known as a teaser and a taster for a forthcoming podcast adventure, which is called Simon Mayo's Books of the Year.
Adventure, I like that.
I do think, well, I do think it's an adventure. This is Matt Williams, by the way, yes. who's back again lurking. And we're talking books. And because we have been talking books for quite a long time.
Yes.
We weren't talking about books. All of a sudden, can't remember what happened there.
Oh, no.
Anyway, all of a sudden, we weren't. Anyway, we refused to be take no for an answer. What we're going to be doing fortnightly is bringing you the best fiction and bringing you the best non-fiction.
Yes.
Excellent. So it's good to have them teamed up again. I wonder whether you're able to get that podcast on the new BBC Sounds app.
Oh, is it a BBC production?
I don't think it is
Simon Mayo production?
No, I don't think it's a BBC production. But yes, the new BBC Sounds app has got radio stations and podcasts and all sorts, and you've been having a play.
I had a quick play, and it looks like a watered-down version of the current BBC iPlayer radio app, which is not what they're going for, I'm sure, but it is only a soft launch, and new features will be added. And then I think, or I have been told, that the iPlayer radio app will be zapped. It'll be gone. And BBC Sounds will be the new default way of listening to BBC Radio, which is quite an interesting strategy to kill off the word radio for sounds.
And it seems quite clever because obviously when you're signed in, it knows what you've previously listened to via the iPlayer on any device. And it also seems to link in with the Apple Podcasts app on my phone because it knows which BBC podcasts I've got on my podcast app, I think.
Clever. Yeah. Good BBC.
Good BBC. Meta. So we'll look forward to how that develops over the next few months. I think they're doing a big full marketing launch in the autumn. I think October, November time. They're going to be pushing it big time, but it's a soft launch there and have a play.
Will do. Thank you.
And on Radio Today this week, you've been writing about changes at some of the Heart stations, including at Heart Gloucestershire.
Yeah, I don't think the two are particularly connected, but in Gloucestershire, Miles Galloway has taken over from Warren Moore. Miles comes from Virgin Radio in Dubai and is the son of Robin Galloway. I don't know if anybody knows that, but he's doing his own thing in radio, following his dad. And in the West Midlands, Steve Denyer, who's been on Heart West Midlands for about 68 years, he's left. We don't know where he's going, but he's off. He's been replaced by...
Elise Evans.
That's right. She's taken over this week.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And Warren Moore, who's left Heart Gloucestershire Breakfast, as I say, he's been on there about 10 years, and we've seen reports that he's off to the BBC. Appears to be on the schedules for the BBC Local Radio in the West a week Sunday to do a show there. At Nation Radio, so Thames Radio has now become Nation Radio on DAB in London. And since they bought Sun FM, they've given it a new logo this week.
That's right, which is welcoming because it's now red. The entire city of Sunderland is red. So for them to change from a red logo to a blue one about 20 years ago was a bit weird. So back in the red, so to speak. And it's good news that the name Sun FM will continue and not become yet another Nation Radio output.
Interesting stuff. And in the diary coming up in September, we've got Next Radio on the 17th of September and Drive to Digital just announced for the 25th. Bob Shannon, Dee Ford and Margot James, the names announced for that so far. You're listening to the Radio Today programme. Just a quick word about Clean Feed, if you've not heard about it. If you're doing an OB, an interview, co-hosting from a remote spot, Clean Feed is the thing you need. It's designed for radio and for podcasters and it's really simple to connect live audio over the internet. The quality is great and you can record as well. It doesn't cost you anything to get started, only take you about a minute or so to get signed up and doing your first live interview. Check it out at cleanfeed.net. That's cleanfeed.net. Thank you, Roy, and have a good week in radio.
You too.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Well, I've come back inside now, out of the heat and the sunshine, to have a chat with Phil Riley. You will remember Phil as one of the big bosses of Chrysalis Radio and more recently Orion Media, the owners of Free and Gem in the Midlands. Well, among the things Phil does now is that he's the chair of the judges for the ARIAs and they're back in October this year. And delighted to say Phil's with us on the podcast this week. Welcome, Phil.
Hi, Stuart. Great to be here.
The entries have opened now. Tell us what's different about this year. What's new about the awards?
A couple of new awards. One, we've sort of rejigged those marketing, promotion, branding type things. So we now have a clearer set of those awards. And one of the new ones is Best Station Sound, which I just think hopefully will appeal to those people who work in the engine room of radio stations, making all the jingles and the promos and stuff. And it's quite a broad category, and hopefully people will find that and enjoy that one. The other new one, which I think people might find fun and certainly supportive of many of the good things that we think about radio, is Best Local Radio Show. And we felt that although we had both Local Radio Station of the Year and Community Programming were both categories that we've carried on this year, we felt we wanted to put something in there which just said, you know, we just want to celebrate somebody that just does an outstanding local radio show. So the rubric is quite wide for that. And hopefully that will allow people from the community sector as well as local stations to enter with a wide variety of entries. But hopefully that will spark a bit of interest from people that might normally think, well, maybe my show is great and it's very local, but it doesn't fit any of the categories. Hopefully this has now created a category for you.
And in terms of what you're looking for, you are looking for the best in UK audio. So I guess we're saying to people, don't bother sending in something if you don't personally think it's very good, because chances are the judges won't think that either.
Absolutely. And we do ask an awful lot of the judges. We've narrowed down the time frame now this year, and we've said, look, it's 15 minutes. You've got to get your entry in 15 minutes, because we were asking so much of them, particularly in some of the very heavily subscribed categories where you've got 30, 40, 50 entries. If you're having to listen to half an hour of 30 or 40 entries, that's a lot out of somebody's summer, particularly if it's going to be nice and warm, which we hope. So the entries have to be 15 minutes, and we've done one or two other things as well to try and reduce the number of entries in each category. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. Please, if it isn't outstanding, then it's probably not worth entering, because the quality has been going up every year. One of the other things we've done this year is... and people can download the rubrics. I think Roger is setting this up now from the Awards Force website. You can download the full rubrics. We've paired most of the categories. What does that mean? It means that where we have two categories that are fairly similar, we've put them together and we've said, you can't enter the same output for these two categories. So, for example, Best Sports Programme and Best Event, you can't put the same entry in for both of them. And the reason for doing that is because we only have 21 awards, and we want to spread out the winners of those 21 awards as widely as we possibly can. So what we don't want to see is one person going home with a bag full of awards because they've had one particularly great piece of audio and they've managed to finesse it into two, three, four different categories, which used to be the case. So there's now a rule, two rules, one which says you can't enter the same award in these paired categories, and people can go on the website and see, and I think they look pretty logical what we've done there. And secondly, you can only enter any single piece of audio in two categories. So if you've got something which you think is compelling and you are allowed to enter it into two, that's great, but you can't enter it into more than two. And again, we had a situation last year where the same bit of audio, compelling though it was bubbling to the top in an awful lot of categories, which we just thought was unfair to all the other entrants. So we're asking people who are responsible for entering to think very carefully about which category they think their entries are best suited for, and not to think, wow, I can enter it into three, four, so I'll just throw it at all of them. They're going to have to be a bit more disciplined in their thinking.
And we talked on this podcast, I think last year, about the criticism from the year before about things being very BBC heavy in the winners. And you tackled that last year. I presume the same applies this year as well in terms of...
The same applies, absolutely. The same applies this year. What we did last year, people might remember, is we sort of applied the Olympic Games rule, which is, you'll know, even though Jamaica might produce the best sprinters in the world, there can only ever be three of them in the final because the Olympics are limited. And that's what we did last year. We said, look, we're going to create two separate streams, Stream A and Stream B, of entries. And Stream A will be those from the BBC and from independent producers who are producing programmes for the BBC. And Stream B will be commercial, community podcasts, independent podcasts, etc. And we're going to give the judges free rein to listen to all the entries, give them the right scores, but then look at the three best from each of those streams as the finalists, and then ask the judges to make their judgment based on those six. Now, it still means if the three best are all commercial, the commercial will get gold, silver, bronze. If the three best were BBC, the BBC will get gold, silver, bronze. So we're never the intention to to deny a gold, silver or bronze winner their opportunity to get there. It's just to make the second round, that final judging process with the judges, a bit more open, and to make sure that when you see that list of finalists, you're seeing the breadth of the radio industry represented. Now, last year, there were occasions where, for some categories, we had so many entries from one of those streams that it would simply not have been appropriate to have two lots of three, and we did vary that. And I'm pleased to say that the judging, the committee that Roger and I put together this year codified some of those. So there are some rules in the background that people don't need to worry about, but we are flexible when we need to be. But the overarching intention here is to reflect the breadth of the industry, and we know that the industry is pretty much split down the middle in terms of the amount of listening and the amount of people that work for the BBC versus the amount of listening and the amount of people that work for the commercial sector, and we want that to be reflected in the number of people that are being highlighted as the best of the best in the industry.
And it's time to dig into Powerlog or into that archive that you've kept, because the audio that you're submitting has got to be from the 1st of July last year, 2017, through to the 30th of June this year. So any audio that's up to basically the end of this week. The entries close on the 6th of August. So you've only got about 5 weeks now to get your entries all together and in. And then you're going to be announcing the nominations on the 17th of September at Next Radio. And we're looking forward to a good night then in October when the awards are handed out, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's going to continue to grow. I'm very confident that we'll see an uptick in numbers this year, even over last year. Last year, I think, was showed the benefit of it being in its second year. I think it was a lot more polished. We had a lot more entries. The quality was clearly up there, and the event itself was very good. I think this year will be even better, and I just encourage everybody who can enter to enter, because I think they are rapidly becoming the best of the best for radio in the UK and the awards that people will aspire to.
And it's quite cheap to enter as well. I think they start from £25 per entry. So
it does, yeah. If you're a member of the Academy, you can enter yourself for £25. Obviously, the corporate rate is slightly higher than that, but £25 is hopefully low enough for independent podcasters, people who run shows on community stations, anybody that thinks they've got something that they want to expose to a wider audience because they think it's really quality. They've got an opportunity to do that.
Okay, thanks, Phil. Good luck with everybody for their entries. And while we've got you on in your kind of capacity as a radio consultant and a former exec, obviously the big news we've been talking about on the podcast this week is the deregulation consultation announced by Ofcom. It's essentially a reduction in locally produced content, bigger approved areas for program sharing and location sharing. Is this a good thing? Are we heading in the right direction?
Well, we're heading in the direction I think inevitably we were always going to. Clearly, there's been a big move to try and deregulate the radio industry. There's no chance of us getting legislation through Parliament, as I understand it, because of all sorts of reasons, but mainly Brexit. So we have to go as fast as the current legislation will allow us. And I think this is probably about as far as Ofcom and DCMS think that they can make the current rules work. So I'm quietly encouraged by it. I was thinking back, when I knew you were going to ask me about it. I did think back to my first year or two in commercial radio back in 1980. So, I mean, I joined the industry only a few years after it launched. BR&B launched in 74. So I was 6 years. It was 6 years old when I joined it. So, not really that old. And, boy, we had big newsrooms, we had phone-in programs, we had sports programs, we had specialist music, we had a religious slot, everything was local, 24/7. It was to compare that with what we have today, it's chalk and cheese. I mean, the industry has been transformed beyond all recognition, really. A bit of me, I'm an old duffer, I suppose a bit of me harks back to those days and thinks they were fantastic days. But you have to reflect in the industry what the economic circumstances of the time are, what the cultural circumstances are, the availability of other technologies for people to consume audio on, and you have to be able to make radio that's fit for purpose for that environment. And I think these rules go a long way to making that more a case. They go a long way to making small-scale commercial radio stations more commercially viable and giving them more of a future. And remember, at the back of all of this, underpinning it, is the Ofcom requirement that if you want to drop your local programming down to 3 hours a day, that's great, but you have to therefore provide local news every hour on the hour. You've got to still be a fully functioning news source for the locality that you're serving as a radio station. So there still is something in there. It is a long way away from where we were 40 years ago, but I think that's just inevitable given the times in which we live.
And I think Global and Bauer, the big boys, have welcomed this through Radio Centre, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to take full advantage of the new rules if they get approved, because they could already share most of their programmes on Smooth, but they choose not to. They choose to do regional breakfast and drive shows. So just because it says they can have 3 hours a day and it doesn't have to be breakfast doesn't mean to say we're going to see Heart Breakfast nationally, does it?
That's absolutely right. No one is forcing people to take advantage of these rules, and they're certainly... are different strategies being adopted by different players in the marketplace, and both at that the big boy level, that's true, but also at the smaller local level, different companies adopt different strategies. Celador Radio, the company that I'm a board member of, has a strategy of branding for many of its stations, not all of them, but many of them carry a common brand. But UKRD has gone a different route. So no matter where you are in the pecking order, you are free to do what you think is best for your listeners and your advertisers and your staff and all those stakeholders in your station. But the more freedom and flexibility we can give people, that the better it's got to be for the financial viability of the business.
And that's critical, I guess. And with Celador, with their Breeze brand, I think it would cut it to three local shows that they'd need to produce. So that's seriously going to affect the financial viability of the company, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. And I'm not in a position to talk about Celador. So I'm not at operational level, and we haven't had a board meeting yet to even discuss what it means for us. But clearly, for all operators, these new rules give you greater freedom to do things in a different, more efficient way, and that's got to be a good thing. Although, as I say, I as an old duffer, I hark back to the days when there was the country show was on Thursday and the rock show was on Friday and the soul show was on Sunday night, and lost days, great days, halcyon days.
Fabulous, thank you, Phil. David Lloyd is on the way with some more radio moments after James Cridland takes a look at Google Podcasts next.
Phone calls, social media, SMS, email, codec control and visualization through the same interface. Phone box from Broadcast Bionics. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
At james.crid.land, I'm James Cridland, the radio futurologist. This week, Google Podcasts, friend or foe to radio?
Okay, Google, play me some Afrobeats.
Sure. Here's a Spotify playlist called The Sound of Classic Afrobeats.
The radio industry has been slowly incorporating podcasts into its mix, both as a useful way of promoting some of our key talent and increasingly as a way to get closer to clients by producing branded podcasts for them. And increasingly, sales teams are representing podcast networks as well as radio stations. Now, last week we were handed a gift from Google as the search engine finally got into podcasting in a big way. They finally launched their podcasting app, Google Podcasts, and it's already installed in hundreds of millions of Android phones. And this is important because Android represents over 80% of the global market in smartphones. And even in strong Apple countries like the US and Australia, Android still has around a 50% share. Even now, 75% of Americans don't listen to podcasts, so proper inbuilt Android support is a significant doorway to making podcasting a mass media, something that's been eluding the industry for a while. Part of the issue with podcasting has been that podcasters have had one simple place to link to on Apple, which is guaranteed to work on any Apple iPhone or iPod Touch, but now we've the equivalent for Android phones. A link to play a podcast on Google Podcasts will, on an Android phone, just work. The podcast app is part of the Google Search app, which is installed on every new Android phone. And additionally, Google have added a few Google Smarts. First, the app itself has recommendations in it, as you'd expect, but they're based on your listening. So I listened to one episode of this.
Why have I got to go around some strangers? Eddie McGuire's not doing that. Fifi's not doing that. Why have I got to go around someone's house and pick up their manky old second-hand dirty couch?
That's Christian O'Connell's breakfast show from a radio station in Melbourne, and it recommended other podcasts I might enjoy, including this.
Carl is fascinated by that quote I once told him, that Wittgenstein said, if a lion could speak English, you wouldn't be able to understand it because your cultural references would be so different. And as you know, Carl couldn't get it. He'd be going, well, I think I would understand a lion. He was going, I know what sort of day it's had. What did you mean by that?
I just mean, I kind of know what a lion gets up to.
That's Ricky Gervais's show from SiriusXM. Probably the most interesting step is that a Google web search now highlights podcasts with a little play button, and that allows frictionless listening directly from a search result. So if you search for anything you're interested in, you might get audio as well as a web page. And all of this leads to the inevitable question, is a significant addition to the podcast landscape like this going to erode radio listening? Or is it a great opportunity, allowing on-demand radio in the form of podcasting to reach many more people? Well, in any case, if you need it, I've written an FAQ about Google Podcasts and what your station should do next over on my podcasting newsletter website at podnews.net. And you can get my weekly newsletter at james.crid.land. And until next time, keep listening. And now on the Radio Today programme, here's a man that makes a podcast or two.
David Lloyd.
The celebrations continue for 50 years of many BBC radio stations, and this week, it's Leeds.
This is BBC Radio Leeds.
Radio Leeds is a bloody waste of time.
And so Radio Leeds started in the surprise way it intends to go on, complete with a live hookup to a Mongolian who happens to speak English in Ulaanbaatar, and the nearest the BBC has yet got to a commercial programme.
Hello, this is Ralph Robinson, your man from Auntie, with the only BBC programme money can buy. You can buy time on OPMCB simply by sending a donation to charity. So send in your requests and your offers of cash. Remember, it's your money we're after. Let's hope we get piles.
Well, hi there, you good people at home and in hospital. This is Radio Leeds inviting you to sit down and sing with us here in the Odeon Theatre in the Hedgerow Leeds.
We're trying to cater for all tastes, from politics to lonely hearts. Really, it's impossible just on VHF 94.6. Radio Leeds could do with a second channel.
And we're going to start with a tune I'm sure everybody knows. Pack up your troubles in your old kit bag.
Smile, smile, smile. Yes, the early days of BBC Radio Leeds, which opened this week in 1968. And one of the troubles in their kit bag was that they were only on VHF, or FM as we now call it, and very few folk back then had the radios to pick up FM. But the station was later delighted to get a good old AM.
You're listening to the sound of your own local station, BBC Radio Leeds, broadcasting on 271 metres medium wave, 92.4 VHF. It's exactly 3:15 in time for tea break.
Ah, how jolly is that? It had come on a long way by the 70s, hadn't it? Happy 50th anniversary to BBC Radio Leeds. In the early days, the local press weren't exactly supportive, and the cunning station manager later claimed he'd had to buy a greyhound called Radio Leeds and enter it for races just to get the station name in the press. West Junction's very own BBC Radio. Now, we heard recently that Ofcom are not planning to renew the Ipswich licence held by Town 102. It's the first time Ofcom have ever done that to a sitting tenant. And even the earlier regulators like the IBA and the Radio Authority did it very rarely. LBC lost its licence at one stage, as did Devonair, and 32 years ago this week.
In less than 3 hours' time, after 10 years, 257 days, we're going to stop. And will be the first radio station ever to close in the history of British broadcasting, of whom it can be said we didn't fall, we were pushed. And that's why we're going out in style.
For the next 3 hours, join me, Pam Spriggs.
And me, Chris Carnegie, together with the rest of the Victory staff.
In a celebration of 10.5 years on the air, on the South Coast. We'll be hearing voices from the past and the sound of Victory listeners of today. There's competition.
The funny thing about Victory, in retrospect, is that if the audience had showed their enthusiasm during its life half as much as they showed their enthusiasm during its death throes, it might still be here today. I say that because actually the radar performance of Victory was never huge. It was respectable, but it was never huge. And the reaction to the announcement of the forthcoming close down, and of course to the fact that Portsmouth would no longer have a dedicated radio station, because the whole backdrop to this was the merger with the Southampton franchise, the reaction to that was wild. I mean, you know, there were massive petitions raised, there were angry columns in the local paper, which had never been that supportive previously, but suddenly was rowing in right behind us.
Serving southern Hampshire, West Sussex and the Isle of Wight for 10 years, 257 days. This has been Radio Victory.
Chris Carnegie on Radio Victory as it lost its Portsmouth licence in favour of Ocean Sound this week in 1986. Those frequencies, of course, now carry both Heart and Capital. As we celebrate 20 years since the start of DAB proper, let's mark one of the many services which has come and gone in that time. It's 11 years since a well-crafted farewell to its young audience from Capital Disney.
But now the time has come for us to move on. Just as you're growing up and making new friends, starting at new schools, colleges and universities, you're also trying out new things, making new friends and saying goodbye to old. So are we.
We've had an amazing time.
Farewell, Capital Disney. It was a joint venture by Capital Radio, then part of GCAP and the Walt Disney Company. It replaced The Cube and lasted 5 years. Capital, of course, at that time were applying for FM licences for a kids format, and that legacy lives on to this day as Fun Kids. 1975 now, and watch out, Teesside. Commercial radio is coming.
And a very good morning to you. It's Midsummer Day, Tuesday the 24th of June 1975, and this is Leslie Ross welcoming you to the start of our very first day of transmissions here on Radio Tees 257 metres. Thanks for making the effort. Glad I did. I'll be with you in 5 minutes' time to start our very first breakfast show.
The wonderful Les Ross launching Radio Tees this week in 75. Hot foot from a station a little closer to his home.
Now, let me tell all our listeners, Les, because I do believe that you've been announcing it on Radio Birmingham over there, that Leslie Ross is leaving Radio Birmingham.
I think we've got the gist of that, yes.
Well, we haven't over here. I've only just announced it.
Oh, have you?
We don't know what's going on. They think you're just a loony coming on my show.
Well, of course, I've got so many listeners in your area. They would like to be informed of things like that, Al.
Well, we've got a lot of listeners together, and it's been great fun working alongside you, because you've been with Birmingham for around 4 years, haven't you, Les?
How long?
Is it four?
Four and a half years.
Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot the half.
So Les Ross's journey into commercial radio began at Radio Tees, which launched this week in 1975. And on day one of that station, how about a quick phone-in to the management?
This is Airline, where we give you the opportunity of talking about your problems or to people in the public eye at the moment. In our first edition, on the first day of broadcasting, we're talking to the Managing Director of Radio Tees, John Bradford, our programme controller, Bob Hopton, and also in the studio to talk about the local media's responsibility in the area is Bill Heaps, the Managing Director of the Evening Gazette. If you'd like to ring into our line on Stockton 69257, we'd be very happy to have you aboard. The number, once again, is Stockton 69257. We do have some available lines, I'm told, at the moment.
I'm not surprised. Happy birthday, Radio Tees, now TFN. So, with the death of Radio 2's Charlie Chester 21 years ago...
It's Radio Soapbox and Charlie, your host.
The end of local programmes on Bauer's Scottish AM stations 5 years ago...
By the way, I'm not going to disappear into the ether.
Supergold launching on the Chilton and North Hants AM frequencies 28 years ago, becoming classic gold 5 years later... Hello to Manx Radio, the first licensed commercial station on the British Isles 54 years ago.
From all of us at Manx Radio, the voice of man, a very good night.
Sandy Toksvig hosting her final edition of the News Quiz on Radio 4 3 years ago.
Oh, here we go. Blah, 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 football, blah.
And John Humphreys getting his newsreaders mixed up a little on the Today programme 3 years ago.
Today's newsreader is Diana Spencer. It's Diana Speed. Forgive me.
No, not at all.
Those are this week's Radio Moments. Radio.
Radio Moments.
Thank you, sir. On the credits this week, Phil Riley, Roy Martin, James Cridland and David Lloyd. It's round table time again next week as Trevor Dan and guests chew over the latest developments in the radio industry in our July edition. Join us for that next time.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.